Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to be with you for another day of going through God's Word, and we're spending some time in John chapter 12. And there's a lot that happens in this chapter, but we're really focusing on this one section where Jesus essentially says, this is what glory looks like in the kingdom. The hour has come. The Son of Man is going to be glorified. And then he says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. And he's telling us what glory is in the kingdom. And there's a lot of themes in this just little section of scripture. And one of the things that we went over yesterday and just touched on at the end is this idea of God's timing. And I wanted to touch on it again as we begin today's episode, because I think it's so, so important that the Father puts this plan into place. He puts a plan to come and save us, to come and rescue us. It's the Father's plan from all of eternity to come and bring us back to Him. And that Jesus, even though He was with the Father in heaven, from His free choice, chooses to become a man and in His humanity submit Himself completely to the timing and the will of the Father. And so he even says at different times, only the Father knows the timing of this. Only the Father knows, only the Father knows. And so it's not that Jesus doesn't have like total knowledge of everything that's happening, but Jesus in his humanity is choosing to submit the plan for his life to the Father. And so he says, the hour is coming, the hour is coming. And then in what we read yesterday, he says, the hour has come. The hour has come, and there's a way that Jesus, this is exciting, of Jesus is saying, I'm going to be glorified by my Father, but also he knows what it means, and it means his death. And Jesus has given over the power of life and death, the timing of his death as a human man, into the hands of his Father. And I just think that this is amazing, beautiful, powerful trust. It's Jesus giving his life totally over to his Father in complete abandonment and trust. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's encouraging for us to say, how do I give my life over to my Father? How do I give myself over to my Father? How do I follow the footsteps of Jesus, even that, and give myself over to him in this way completely and totally? And so even today, as we go about our days, what are things that just we submit to? We're saying, Father, this is your plan for me. And I just give you my life. I surrender in this way and trusting that you know what's best for me. So let's just meditate on that as we go throughout our day today. All right, so to get started, we're going to read our psalm, and then we are going to dive back into John chapter 12. Psalm 122, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek prosperity. Lord Jesus, we just give you our lives today. As we come before you and your word, we ask that you would give us the grace and the courage and the strength to submit our lives to you, to follow the plan that the Father has set out for us, the timing of our Father. We thank you for who you are and what you've given to us. We thank you, Father, that your timing is always good and perfect, and your plan is always good and perfect, even when we don't understand it. So we give you all the glory as we read this word. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so back to John chapter 12. I'm going to read this section again. If you have your scriptures, open them up. John 12, 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew went with Philip and they told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So here we see, again, so many themes that we could jump on. There's so many themes in this little section of about 6 verses. But I want to pick up where we left off yesterday. Jesus says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. So yesterday we talked about the timing, the hour. And it's kind of funny because they're like, we want to see Jesus. And he's like, my time has come to be glorified, right? And they're like, okay, but can we see him, you know? And so sometimes Jesus is speaking in these funny ways. But yesterday we talked about the timing of the glorification of the Son. And now Jesus, he's come through Palm Sunday, he's moving into the Passover, and he's saying, now the time has come for the Son of Man, me, to be glorified. Now the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And so we're going to see in the next couple of sentences, what is glory to Jesus? Because as we said before, he just rode in on a donkey and people were bowing down to him and waving palms. And so the disciples are like, wasn't that glory? How much further are you going to go? Are you going to overthrow Caesar? Are you going to take a place? Are you going to take a throne on earth? What is this going to look like? What is this going to look like? And so this is really important to that point of what we were saying. What is glory? What does it mean to live a glorious life here on earth? And friends, so often, I think even as Christians, we have this glory of the world that creeps in of we want to be seen, we want to be known. For so many of us, glory looks like that march in on Palm Sunday. That's what it looks like. That's what it sounds like. That glory. But what is glory? Glory can mean a lot of different things, right? That everyday use of like winning, having a notable achievement, right? Or there's also appearance of splendor, glory, magnificent beauty, or radiance. And the thing that we're most using now is kind of this theological way, the divine majesty, holiness, and presence of God. I love this. It says in scripture, glory often points to the visible manifestation of God's greatness. Sometimes it also refers to eternal blessedness of heaven, the state of union with God will be in glory with him. But there's something that it gets to. I remember I was taking an Old Testament class when I began my master's, and there's this Hebrew word, kabod. Kabod, and the way that my professor described it was kabod was glory. It was this weightiness, and it was the external manifestation of the internal character and nature of God. And so what Jesus is saying, he's saying there's an hour now that has come. And in this hour, what the Father is going to do is he's going to pour his glory out on the Son. And what's going to happen, he's saying, what's going to happen with me, what the Father is going to do with me in this hour is going to show to the world. It's going to shine out to the world. The internal nature of God is going to show out to the entire world. What is that thing going to be? What could the thing possibly be that it's in doing this to Jesus in the way that the Father's plan unfolds? Actually, the internal nature and character of God is going to be made manifest and on display. It's going to come down and rest. It's going to beam out like the Son out of the person of Jesus. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, for the glory of the Father to burst out from the Son. There's another place in scripture that I love, John 17, where Jesus says he's praying directly to his Father and he says, glorify the Son. Glorify the Son so that you may be glorified. I actually want to pull it up because it says Jesus prays to be glorified. John 17, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, for the hour has come. Again, he's saying it. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So we're hearing a lot of glory. This is really an extension of what Jesus is saying in John chapter 12. He's praying to the Father. He's saying, Father, glorify me. He's saying, on earth, I glorified you. I gave you glory through obedience. And now you are going to glorify me with the very glory that we had together in heaven. With the very glory, what is that going to look like? What is that going to sound like? When we hear that, friends, there's something in us that longs for that. And so Jesus is saying, this is what it means to be great. I brought the Father glory on earth. And now the Father is going to do something in me that is so great, that is so great, that it's going to just extend the glory of God in me is going to be the glory that I had with the Father and the Holy Spirit before I became a man. The glory that Jesus and the Father had together. And so this is what Jesus is going to happen in this hour. The Father will glorify the Son in his presence with the glory that they had before the world began. So what will that thing be? The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And what we know, friends, is that the way the Son of Man is glorified, Jesus will say later on, I don't know if we're going to get to this part, but he'll say later on, when I am glorified, I will be lifted up and I will draw all men to myself. Where is Jesus lifted up? He's lifted up on the cross. He's lifted up on the cross. And so it's amazing, it's incredible, it's this thing, the world will see the glory of God fully alive. The glory of God will come rest on the Son when? When he's lifted up on the cross. This is the upside down reality of the kingdom, as Jesus is saying, the point of my glory on earth, the most glorious moment that I have on earth. It's not when I came in and everybody worshiped me. It's not going to be overthrowing Caesar in some big battle and taking back the Roman Empire. The moment of God's greatest glory, the moment when the internal nature of God will be made manifest for all to see, will be when a man is falsely accused, beaten, scourged. All of his friends will desert him. He will walk across up the hill of Calvary. He will be nailed to that cross. A crown of thorns will be put on his head. His side will be cut open. He will be raised up in the midst of two criminals, for all to look upon him. And when he is raised up, hanging, bloody, naked on a cross, and the sky will open, the sky thunders and pours down rain because the earth stops, the veil is torn in this moment. This is the time where he's saying, the Father will glorify me. When the Son of Man is raised up on the cross, this is the time that the Father is saying, my glory will go out into all the earth. Everyone will see the heart of God when the Son is raised up. We're going to talk about more of that tomorrow, how in suffering we see the heart of God when the Son is raised up on the cross. Join us again tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.